Okay, welcome everyone to our Tuesday the 9th of February 2021 Council meeting. The meeting conduct is listed in the front of the agenda. Security procedures, evacuation details and information are located on the wall to my right hand side. In the unlikelihood of an emergency evacuation, alarm will sound and evacuation wardens will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in an orderly fashion through the front door and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town hall. Could I just remind councillors to make sure that you've got your microphones in front of you and actually activate them when you are wanting to talk. Thank you. Sorry, up the back there, we cannot allow recordings of this meeting without our permission. Have we? Right. Okay. Right. Sorry about that. You do recall that. Good. Thank you, General Manager.
Sorry.
Apologies up the back.
Should have let you know.
You probably should have. Okay. So, present, we have the Deputy Mayor, Michael Kelly, on Zoom. He'll come in as needed to be. Apologies, Anil in attendance, listed. Somebody would like to move the confirmation of the minutes of the last council meeting, please. Councillor Sheriff, seconder. Councillor King. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. So the council workshops held since last meeting are listed. You have the announcements by the Mayor. You have announcements by councillors. You can, Councillor Cameron.
Okay, so in a world dominated by social distancing requirements, our community organisations have been faced with a whole new set of challenges. Community events often take a lot of work from what is usually a small group of volunteers. Throwing in the requirements of the need to complete a COVID safety plan could easily be the undoing of many of our events. I would like to take time to congratulate the Westbury Rotary and the Chudley Hall Committee on holding their Australia Day breakfast this year. Both groups adapted well and held very successful events. I'd also like to particularly thank Chris Eade for helping with his guidance and support of the Chudley Hall Committee. He went over and beyond his duty to assist the committee navigate their way through the requirements, and I know that the committee really appreciated it.
Microphone. Thanks, Councillor. Any other announcements by councillors? Nope. Yeah. Any declarations of interest?
No.
Nope. Any tabling and actions on petitions?
No.
Nope. Public question time. So public question time will continue for no more than 30 minutes for questions on notice and questions without notice. So at the beginning of public question time, Chairman will firstly refer to the questions on notice. The Chairman will ask each person who has a question on notice, they would like to ask the questions. If they accept, they will come forward and state their name, where they're from, etc. I won't read the rest of it because it's all there as it normally is. So you have 3 minutes to ask a question of council and then get a reply, and it will go for 30 minutes. So, public question time. We have public questions taken on notice. There are nil. So, Councillor, we've got one more person. Well, they're out in the room, so we'll just cease for a minute. Just gone. You're in the position, Rodney, to keep an eye on them out there. That's good. Okay, you're right with that?
Yep.
So, public questions with notice. You have one that has been responded to and it's in the agenda. Public questions without notice. We have one from Emma Hamilton. Yes? So, would you... Oh, well, I can read it out. It's there in front of us. So it says, will all councillors please individually indicate if they are aware of the council's media release dated the 8th of February 2021 about the Meander Valley Gazette before it was sent out, whether or not they approved of the content. So would any councillors want to respond, or would you want to pass it to the General Manager? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, I have already responded by email to the lady last night, and at that stage I hadn't seen it, and personally, no, I wouldn't have said it as per its content, but there are bits and pieces that I wouldn't personally have said. So.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors want to respond? If not, General Manager.
Thanks, Mayor. In response to the question, there has been no media release. Council has posted as a matter of public record letters written by the General Manager to the editor of the Meander Valley Gazette. The post was at the direction of the General Manager as a correction of the public record. It should be noted that the focus of Council has been on incorrect reports about Council staff salaries, roles and qualifications. The Meander Valley Gazette has refused to publish letters to the editor calling for corrections over several months. The Gazette, in an action seemingly at odds with the practices of other publications, has also refused to publicly correct the record. The General Manager's letters have been placed on Council's website as a step towards correcting the public record in respect of personal staff details, the publication of which serves no public interest. The letters to the editor were circulated to all councillors at the time they were submitted to the Meander Valley Gazette and informally discussed from time to time. Councillors were aware of the letters having been sent and publication refused. They were not aware in advance of the post on the 8th of February 2021. The action in addressing a matter impacting staff and the correction of the public record is an action to defend reputations, something within the remit of the General Manager rather than councillors.
Thank you, General Manager. Any other public questions without notice? Councillor Sheriff?
I just want to reply to what John just spoke about. I wasn't aware of the post, but I was fully aware with the correspondence within that post, so I haven't got a problem with what was posted and shared. Obviously, all the correspondence was sent to us councillors, so we actually knew what was going on. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. Okay, no other. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have nothing to do with Facebook. My thoughts are that if there are going to be comments from the General Manager, I believe it should be that the every councillor should be made aware of those before they're forwarded.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Anything else, councillors?
I have a question.
Councillor Kelly. Sorry, I couldn't see your hand up. You're away, Councillor Kelly.
Hang on.
No, you're right. We don't.
Question to the General Manager. Had there been any thought put into putting a letter to the editor, into the Examiner, actually pointing out how it's frustrating to defend the position of Council?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, there has, and we're also considering recourse to the Australian Press Council and working through other avenues in terms of defending the position and reputations of staff.
Thanks, General Manager. Councillor Temple, did you wish to?
Well, just to answer the question, as others have, no, I wasn't aware of the I don't know, what is the simple term for what? Is it a, if it's not a media release, it is a...
Post.
It's a post.
Facebook post. I wasn't aware of it before it went out. When we get to council question time, I'd like to ask a couple of questions at that point.
Yep,
thank you.
Certainly. Okay, no more public questions without notice. We'll move on to councillor question time. So are councillor questions taken on notice? There are nil. Councillor questions with notice? There are nil. Councillor questions without notice? Councillor King.
Thank you. At the January 2021 ordinary meeting of council, I asked a question regarding the exploding rabbit population and would council write to the invasive species branch of Te Pipwi and press for a collective response to the growing rabbit problem. I understand this happened in a timely manner and the response from the media was strong, with an article in the Examiner and the Tasmanian Country and the opportunity for comment on ABC Radio. What response has been received from the invasive species branch of Te Pipwi as a responsible organisation?
Thanks, Councillor King. General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. We haven't received a response from the department, but what the media that you've referred to, Councillor, has very much highlighted that the expansion of the rabbit populations is something that is not just about Westbury, but generally across Tasmania, and we will await a response from the department and our offer to provide council facilities to support an educational awareness program or response to the community.
Thanks, General Manager. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As usual, my usual question is there any update on any or any developments regarding the proposed prison?
Not that I'm aware. It's come across my desk, Councillor, but General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no.
Thank you. And my second question relates to the Facebook post of yesterday. And in general, how do
That's a good question, Councillor Temple. It would be very good to sit down with the Gazette and try and understand why they actually have the style of reporting that they have. It would be good for a writer reply to be given to council at times when stories are put out there that are not quite correct. But I guess while we've tried to do that, while the General Manager has actually written to the editor on numerous times and asked for letters to be printed, it hasn't happened. So I guess as the General Manager alluded in reply to the last question in his response, that's the path that we'll head down.
A follow-up question, if I may, Mr. Mayor. With regard to the letters that the General Manager has written to the editor of the Gazette, have there been replies from the editor?
General Manager, to you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. We did receive a reply from the editor, and to paraphrase the response, that they regarded it as inappropriate to publish the letters on the grounds that it would damage the reputation of the Gazette, and they also indicated that that because they were relating to individual staff members, it was more appropriate for individual staff members to make a complaint. One of those staff members has in fact made a complaint without a satisfactory resolution, and the Gazette did offer to that staff member an option of taking down from the electronic record on their website reference to the incorrect facts. However, there was no offer of a public retraction, which is the normal standard for journalism. It's published, it needs to be published as a retraction.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, what do you see as the next step? You know, you mentioned perhaps, I'm paraphrasing you, I'm afraid, but a dialogue with the media. Would you consider inviting them to a workshop or some such? Is there any way we could, what can we do to, what practical things can we do now to improve the relationship?
I guess we need to see what comes back from the Gazette. We've asked numerous times for the printing of the letter. We'll have to wait and see. I guess we've talked about going to the Australian Press Standards with our concerns. We'll take that on advice, Councillor Temple.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, councillors. Any other questions? Take that as no. Any deputations by members of the public? Nope. Thank you. So we're heading to planning authority items. So for the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. We have planning authority one, which is for 100 Country Club Avenue, Prospect Vale. We have four representatives that I'll ask you to come forward. Please tell me your name and who you represent, and you have 3 minutes to address council. Only one coming forward. Sorry, it does too. Thank you. We have one coming forward who is speaking. So.
Yes, just the one.
Just the one. Well, we'll see. We don't know whether it gets 9 minutes, but we'll see, Councillor Sheriff.
So I did a little time. It's about 4 and a wee bit minutes.
Okay.
So I will keep it as short as possible. Thank you for letting us come and talk to you, though. So my name's Nicola. I'm a planning consultant from Niche Planning Studios. We have an office in Tassie and one in Melbourne. The three lovely gentlemen behind me, so there's two, Will McGeechee and Ash Mason, both from Kin Capital, and the two of them represent the developer. And then Ross Hanna's in the middle, and he's from Country Club, and he represents the landowner in Federal. So that's the four. You'll have all read your council reports, but just for consistency, obviously I'm here to talk about the proposed scheme amendment. The scheme amendment is to rezone from major tourism to general residential, and also to bring in a specific area plan, a SAP. The site is 44 hectares, so it's not the whole of Country Club's land holding. It's a majority share. And it's predominantly the land to the west of the golf course and to the south of the, I call it the resort, but the buildings. Essentially, the team have been working together with stakeholders and the community to try and bring together a SAP that addressed as many concerns or issues that we thought might have come out of stakeholder engagement and consultation. So we've undertaken some of that work already. We've worked quite a bit with council, which has been really good, with Jo and her team, and we've had meetings with TAS Networks, TAS Water, TAS Fire, etc. The guys have also done quite a bit of community consultation already, not statutory, just sort of to get out there in the community and have a chat with people. So I've got 25 on-site door knocks, 1,000 letter drop homes, and there's been some on-site discussions as well. So we had a meeting out on-site yesterday to look at a particular property and impacts, which was really good. So they're the kind of summary backgrounds, and I guess there was a couple of key take-homes. Excuse me, that's what you get when you haven't had enough water, sorry. Some key take-homes that I wanted to sort of leave you with. So the first one for us is, for us, Prospect Vale is the place to be. It's an area that the team have worked really hard to understand. We've got about 8 consultant reports that are appended to the scheme amendment, and one of those is an economic analysis. It was really interesting because it talks about the fact that there's really a lack of second and third home buyer market response. There's a lack of homes out there that second and third home buyers can buy into. So we have absolute confidence in the local housing market that the product that we're proposing will address that. We've got a diversity of housing options. So it's a total of 380 dwellings, 380 lots and 100 dwellings in a retirement living sort of built form component, which is sort of in the western part of the site. And that retirement living component is aimed at over 55s. It's part of the SAP. We've proposed some built form controls in terms of max height, the sort of building envelope, but we'll come back to lodging a planning application for that built form later. So diversity of housing, residents over 55, retirement living, second and third home buyers. And I think the other thing is, by supporting this, it'll really help bring or lift the local economy, bring some locals that can then go and use the country club and really bring some additional vibrancy in that area. We've done traffic assessments, vegetation, land contaminant, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we thank you for your consideration of this tonight, and we ask that you support it to put it out for advertising, allow the formal consultation to occur, which would be really good and really interesting to see what the community have to say. And then it'll get to come back to you again for final consideration. So that's that. Thank you
for that. Okay, councillors, would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second the motion as it sits in front of you? Thanks, you, Councillor Cameron. Seconder for the motion, please. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. No, I don't have a lot to say, but thank you for that. And I'm happy to support it so that we can take it to the next stage. So appreciate that.
Thank you. Councillor Sheriff, as the seconder.
I'll open it up to the rest of the councillors. I'm more than happy to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Sheriff. Councillors, it's open for discussion. We have Joe Oliver sitting there. Councillor Knott.
Thank you much, Mr. Mayor. I thank Nicola for the presentation and a few things that I wish to say. I guess that as a councillor who lives at Prospect Vale, I certainly had a deal of quite a considerable amount of time in talking with the developers on that Saturday afternoon. They were kind enough to give me sufficient time to ask numbers of questions. There's no doubt that it's going to be a high-quality residential development. There's been a lot of input from our senior strategic planner, Joe, and there have been numbers of changes or amendments or minor refinements from what was initially suggested. And I take that it's a positive as far as helping us to consider this afternoon. Certainly, there's no doubt about economic development and the analysis and so on, and the market response. If we look at the Prospect Vale area, we're surrounding the casino, streets, parks, and so on, and the quality of housing, and it was obviously an opportunity for the federal group to take advantage of that surplus land in order to consider residential development. The other point that I think that needs to be mentioned, and that is that the Blackstone, Prospect Vale Blackstone Heights structure plan, which from 2015, there have been numbers of comments from that as a basis for development. It's a blueprint in a sense, and many of those positives have come through with this particular suggestion or development. One is the strong, from the traffic impact assessment, the link with from Pitcher Parade over to Mount Leslie Road, and the traffic and road network. Now, the traffic and road network, particularly in Blackstone Heights and to a degree on Country Club Avenue and Westbury Road, are issues for this council. I can say that many of them have been addressed with this particular development. And the thought that it's been a concern, and it's in the structure plan where there's a concern about one exit, emergency exit off from Blackstone Heights. And if this idea or suggestion or road network, the link with Mount Leslie Road and the Launceston Council and so on, and the work there, that will be an advantage. I think the other thing too is and I thank Joe for her efforts in discussing this with discussing many of these issues with councillors, particularly as I saw it originally, the plan was to put housing high up on the hillside, and the ridgeline has been taken into account to make it similar to what adjacent developments. And I think that that is a very good outcome for the local community, because natural values is a very important aspect of that particular area. The internal road features and so on, it's covered all the bases as far as land supply, history, bushfire management and so on. 380 residential lots, some diversity with the housing. I particularly like the multi-retirement village and the idea of bushland and walking trails. I was advised that there was going to be a retail area initially. I understand when that at the moment is in the melting pot, and I guess it would be to be developed later on, but not necessarily right at this time. And I also understand clearly that this draft amendment is not likely to be dealt with by the TPC immediately, because of the fact that the Task Planning Swing Local Provision Schedule is imminent. So as our senior planner has mentioned to us, it is a growth corridor. There's lots of development. I perhaps might have liked... I know that there's a pedestrian aspect into Harley Parade. It's a pity we can't do that. A little more development with that, perhaps. But overall, given the profiles that are mentioned, I know that there's, from Greater Launceston area, Prospect Vale is one of the five areas which are for development. And in the profiles, Prospect Vale and Blackstone Heights for a mixture of families and home builders, and Hadson will be for first home buyers, but this particular one with a diversified housing and the quality that we already see around the casino, the buildings and so on, I'm sure that that it can be a very positive outcome for Prospect Vale and for the casino. So at this stage, I'm supporting the rezoning from the tourism and so on to into general residential. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillors, any other councillors? Councillor Sinfield.
Some questions through you to probably Joe. Harley Parade access first up. I thought that might be a game stopper for me, but I suspect I would hope that through this process the restriction of the access to cyclists and pedestrians fails and that it's in fact opened up. I find it very curious that we're proposing a development of the size of this that's pretty well the same number of houses as in Blackstone Heights in its current entirety. So in a sense a new enclave with only one way in and out. I would find it very curious that people would, in an emergency of whatever kind, would drive around to find that their access hadn't been opened in an emergency. And it's all very well for emergency services to have a key and be able to get in there. It's another thing for people to head off in a direction with an expectation and then not get out. And I'm hoping that the proponent will advocate strongly for that road to open, in my view. If Harley Parade's not technically wide enough, and I've read the TIA, it's probably sub-width by a metre or so, then we could maybe do something about that over time to make it a reasonable access. I believe the solution for Blackstone Heights Prospect Vale is found in a multitude of answers, not just one single aspect. Agree with opening up the piece in the northwest corner. So that was really more a statement than a question. But the next thing I wanted to touch on was the geotechnical report. Having read that and understanding every last bit of it, my concern is that the approximately 100 lots have, in the option one version, approximately 100 lots have fill placed over the top of them. We're well aware in Blackstone Heights and Prospect Vale itself there are some issues with what might be sitting over the top of the dolerite, etc. So I'm concerned as to how, and I would ask Joe, if through you, if we can get some sort of indication as to how that might be managed going forward. I understand that if you weren't putting fill there, how you would manage that issue, but with the fill going on, you know, what's currently a significant number of sites, including some fairly steep slopes in the southwest corner, how you might manage that.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I might just touch on Harley Parade first, right of reply. We looked at Harley Parade. It's not just a metre width, it's a lane width of widening that you would require in order to meet the local government standard for the volume of traffic. We were aware of that when Simon Richardson did his residential zone expansion and 70-lot subdivision. So Harley Parade was never designed as a substantive collector road. So it's a significant impact on the existing residents of Harley Parade that have bought and built into an area that was never designed as a substantive collector. Additionally, we know we also have congestion problems at the junction with Westbury Road at peak times in the morning because of traffic coming off the highway. So people actually do struggle even now to get out. So that's why a decision was made. Of course, it's always up to the applicant can always argue an alternative when we get into TPC hearings, should council see fit to initiate it. Country Club Avenue is designed as a major collector road to handle those degrees of traffic. So widening Harley Parade by one lane, eliminating parking down one side and the impacts on those existing residents, I think would go quite pear-shaped if that were part of the proposal. Always something that anyone can table as part of the process. But that's the position that council officers have landed, certainly the position that I've landed as the strategic planner, given that the alternative appropriately accommodates it. As far as emergency access via a gate, it's not an uncommon practice. We don't have any other example that I'm aware of to an urban environment in Prospect Vale, although there are other gates through the area, say, for example, for Travellers Rest, where the same would hold. And I would just take councillors back to the advice of the TPS when we were talking about the Panorama Road subdivision, where TAS Fire Service, where they advised us that should the need to evacuate occur, there's going to be plenty of notice. It's not going to be something that's going to happen in 5 minutes, and it's going to be well organised, because that was in response to the concerns about there only being one access in and out over Pitch Parade. So I'm confident that even though there is a gate, and if it were the master key were held by emergency services, that it would be well managed at that time. Also, your internal subdivision network can be designed such that if by chance there were some confusion, that you would have a looping road network so that you could circle back out and you wouldn't end up with a bottleneck and a roadblock until the gate was open. That's important. So there's ways to manage that without significantly altering the lower key residential environment of Harley Parade, which is the expectation of those residents, and it's a reasonable one given its current physical manifestation, which is quite different to Country Club Avenue. So to the second point, geotechnical fill. The issues that we've experienced up in Blackstone Heights with overfilling of land and landslide has been a result of unregulated development. So, as you know, like, for example, if you look at Ben Lomond View's estate, we've had no issues with substantive overfilling of the site. Fill has been managed for the most part. You've had the odd issue on individual sites on a case-by-case basis, but overall it was well managed through the subdivision process. And that's how I would see this playing out on this site. So even though there's this higher level analysis in the geotechnical report, which is more or less to establish that we have stable ground, which we do, which you can fill on under the right circumstances, and that would require geotechnical assessment at the time the subdivision was designed as well, to make sure that those levels are not tipped
so that we end up with any sort of unsafe circumstances. My prediction is that when the rubber hits the road on any future subdivision, the layout would probably change in that corner because of the terrain, what we know about how people develop, you know, what you need to do to develop in that terrain. And Simon Richardson's subdivision next door is a good example. You might need a little bit more room on some of those blocks, and you would, in all likelihood, even just from a pure cost efficiency basis, try and minimise your fill, because it's just expensive. So you work with the natural terrain as much as you can. So when push comes to shove on the detailed design, that will take care of itself, but the provisions are certainly in the planning scheme for any future subdivision to be able to deal with that quite comprehensively.
Thanks, Joe. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Sinfield, you've not finished?
Okay. I noticed in the report or documents we saw around Christmas time that there were two options for the layout, if you like, and in a sense we're not dealing with that today. The retirement area was dragged forward near to the car park, and so it ended up with the two major roads in the area totally surrounding it, basically. In my view, that would be a rather negative outcome for the elderly to be surrounded by the busiest part of the network. But option two, in my view, had a much better road layout than option one. And so I would hope that as it goes forward, there would be some sort of an amalgam or a revisiting of that. And I suspect, and that's what I'm asking the question of, given that you're inserting or proposing to insert a third major open space area, it's going to require the road network to be altered significantly to deal with that. And while I'm mentioning the open space, who will pay for, if that becomes open space, that will become part of council's open space, and who will pay for the development for it? Because I noticed the other day when I drove around the back of the casino buildings that there's a large piece of exposed dolerite roughly where I would have thought that lower public open space would be sited. Yes, a nice place to perch yourself on a bench, but if you're trying to develop it, that may come at significant cost. So who would be responsible for the actual development cost of paths and whatever else you might put in there, given that you're not dealing with a piece of land that's covered by dirt, at least in significance?
So through you, Mr. Mayor, Council has given already sort of clear initial indicators to the proponent that there are certain parts of their concept landscape design that we are not prepared to take on as public open space. So one of those is the landscape buffer adjoining the retirement village building, because we recognise that it had very little public amenity value. So whether the proponent themselves determine that it has visual amenity value for the purposes of their development, I think is entirely up to them, but we have no intention of taking that on as a public space. The second was the perimeter trail, the activated bushfire buffer zone. We also indicated that we were not prepared to take that on as public open space because of the maintenance and long-term cost associated with that. However, the proponent has indicated in terms of the joint venture partnership with Federal, that will still be made available for public use and as a public trail, but we won't be required to maintain it. Similarly, the terrain of that proposed, what they refer to in the concept plan as parkland reserve. Again, we've also indicated we're not prepared to take that on because of its lack of value to the public, because of its steepness, the terrain. We understand it has a dual purpose as a buffer for the Federal Group buildings for the country club complex, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But again, it has no value as actual public open space. And the cost of developing it for public assets is high. So that's where we end up with the recommendation that you see before you for the nice flat bit on the ridge line, which, as I said, serves a dual purpose, strategically as well as for high-value, high-quality public open space. In taking the land, usually we provide the development of the assets, although the frontages and the crossovers are usually developed where they intersect with roads, and we sort of handle everything from there on in, and we take the land. I don't know what else I can tell you, Councillor Sinfield. It's, in my view, it's a modest proposal on the public asset. It's a good quality proposal for a public asset, serves a dual purpose nicely, and they will privately provide the amenity value indicated in the plans to the rest.
So just to clarify, the piece that's on the behind the road into the driving range, is that not being taken over as well? You haven't mentioned that one.
No.
That won't be taken.
The only one we are interested in is the proposed 1.5 hectares at the top of the hill.
And the road network.
And the road network eventually, yes. with whatever that ends up being configured around it.
And getting to the end. Prior to the meeting, you mentioned the relative heights of this versus the Harley-Davidson development or Richardson's development of 208 versus 206 metres. And I think you mentioned about the house at the top of the hill of Richardson's, but that isn't the height that that subdivision went to.
That's
so
right.
How does this compare? So like Sturgis Place, how does that compare with the height up the hill of this proposal, bearing in mind the change that you're talking about in respect to the ridge line?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's going to be roughly the same. Allowing for the fact, of course, that you can have future houses can be up to 8.5 metres high above natural ground level. So you will have, the effect will be that you will have a vegetated ridge line similar to what you can see above in that photo above Sturgis Place. There will be a gap in the saddle at the boundary, and then the vegetated public open space will pick it up again for the rest. So you will get glimpses of some development and some roofline, similar as you do to Sturgis Place, as you can see in those photographs. But that will be the extent of it. So it might your roofline profile might be slightly higher than what you can currently see in Sturgis Place, slightly, but it will be mostly consistent and below. And then as you get lower in your landscape, say along Country Club Avenue or on the golf course, etc., those views become far more screened and discreet the lower you go down. It's where you get those sort of clear-eyed views from sort of Las Vegas Drive, and those sort of higher parts of Prospect Vale. So I took the shot looking out from the car park of the Prospect Vale Marketplace. Those sort of more elevated parts, you'll pick up some top roof line, but you'll still see vegetation and park behind them. So it will, you'll still have that visual mitigation.
Thank you. I'm going to go to someone else and I'll come back to you, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My first question relates again to Harley Parade. And could that be described as an inelegant solution? And would the current or the future residents of Harley Parade, would they always be under threat that at some point someone will want to widen their road and make it a through road?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. To the answer to your first question, I'd say yes, it's not ideal. Back when Harley Parade was first established in the late 80s, I think it was, 90s, that probably wasn't the greatest degree of, sort of long forethought in terms of preparing for this type of scenario. But we've got what we've got. And my mind goes more toward that environment that is long established. Is it critical to enable this proposal? No, it's not. So I sort of take the view, why instigate substantive change to expectation if it's not necessary to facilitate the development. And I think there's just a pure cost factor involved. It is would be phenomenally expensive to widen the full extent of Harley Parade by a lane, then knock off roadside parking for one side, because that's what you'd have to do for the volume to meet the local government standards and the volume of traffic that we're talking about, and we'd end up with actually a worse congestion problem at the junction with Westbury Road in the morning than we already know that we have, which is sort of teetering on the edge of annoyance, but it's not catastrophic. Whereas we do have future prospects for disbursement to the north, even though this it might seem a little bit counterintuitive at the moment that we're sending it all back to you know those main lines that we know have some issues now, but we have options that way. Whereas the option this way, I think the consequences for those existing residents is just too high.
If I may just add to that, Mr. Mayor, I wasn't suggesting that it should be done, and that is the widening of Harley Parade. I'm saying with this development, isn't it always a potential threat to the residents of Harley Parade that it will be done in the decades to come? Based on the design that we have.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's always that potential for someone to apply, but it's got to be worth their while financially. I've got my doubts that it ever would be because of what would be required, and also council would have to agree to it. Council will always have the ability to say no in terms of opening up that road under the Local Government Highways Act. Would council come under pressure? Possibly, in many years to come. I suspect that pressure might come if we can't get the rest of it to work. But if we can get the rest of it to work, then hopefully that pressure won't be there. So let's get the rest of it to work.
Mr. Mayor, this development has been described already as an enclave, I think earlier in the meeting. I did hear the word used. To have only one access road, how big would be too big? Is there a number of houses or residents that would be too big for an enclave? Is there any national standard, or is there any experience from elsewhere we can draw upon in this regard?
I would, through you, Mr. Mayor, I would suggest not by definition of an enclave. What we look at is the capacity of roads to take the anticipated traffic volume and the dispersal to the broader network. You'll notice that in the plan there is a high-level potential future road out also through to Peter Dixon's land next door that we also had a look at, bearing in mind that we anticipate in the future there will be connections back through Travellers Rest for that second road out of Blackstone Heights. So it's setting up those potential future linkages that it will eventually be integrated. And I sort of make the point in the report, trying to do it diagrammatically, that in fact it's sort of like, I call it the edge piece of the jigsaw. So we've got a bit to the east and a bit to the west, not fully complete in terms of its full vision, as we've talked about in regards to the structure plan, but this is the bit that's like in the middle. And what we're building in is those potential future linkages and trying not to make the same mistake that they made before with not envisaging or providing for Harley Parade well enough. And so I would say it's just based on road capacities, because physically those links will be there and it will eventually be part of the mix. It won't be this thing sitting on its own.
Through you again, Mr. Mayor. How is it envisaged at the moment that this development would link back through to Travellers Rest?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if you have a look at the concept plan, you'll see that the top road corridor goes through, basically aligns through under the power line easement through to Peter Dixon's land. And we know from looking at conceptual development, there's potential to put a future road network with the development of the lower slopes of that land, but also when we finish the job and we deal with the rest of the hills, road networks back through to Traveller. So it can readily connect along the slope with that future network, and we're just making sure that those linkages are in place.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Last one, Councillor.
Well, I've got two more, if I may, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Fire away.
Is there any potential or thought at this stage about a Greater Launceston Ring Road and how travellers rest and Mr. Dixon's land and so forth might become part of that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As you know, Councillor, we have earmarked a traffic and development plan to be undertaken for the Prospect Vale Blackstone Heights, including the Blackstone Hills and Back to Travellers area. So we've commenced discussions and we're forming the brief for those scope of services. So that'll be underway while this is being processed, should Council choose to initiate it. Inevitably, I think those higher order questions will come up as part of that proposal. It won't be a detailed, this is what it should look like, but the numbers will float to the top in terms of whether that type of response is critically necessary and where traffic numbers would fall when that's necessary. That's what we're expecting to come out of it. So we get some clear indications in standards and growth, not just on our side of the fence, but also on City of Launceston's, about when those major interventions need to happen. And it's a long view. It's a 50-year plus view.
One more, that's it, Councillor Temple.
As this is a development on very close to the eastern end of our eastern boundary of our municipality, and that borders a major city, is the Meander Valley Council expecting Launceston to provide most of the infrastructure for the daily lives of these residents, or is the Meander Valley going to look to provide a number of those things from the cradle to grave?
That's a very good question. The GM looks like he's going to answer this one.
Notwithstanding the local government areas, Councillor, I think there are some elements of, in effect, shared infrastructure between Launceston and our eastern communities. As in the case of the traffic study, we'll enter into agreements from time to time with City of Launceston to look at jointly planning solutions. And it may also, from time to time, involve contributions and collaboration with the state government as well. I don't think there's any rule of thumb to say that Meander is going to do the heavy lifting on this and Launceston on that. That collaboration requires joint planning, and once that planning's done, we'll work through the detail of solutions with both councils, state government and developers that may contribute to the circumstance of the community over time.
Thanks, General Manager. Councillors, any other questions before I come back to... I just want to give... Sorry, Councillor. Okay. The floor is yours.
Thank you. You might think I was rather negative on this, but I'm not. I think it will be fantastic. I think it needs some refinement in terms of layout, interactions with the land to the west. For me, I would be factoring in or looking at the access through Harley Parade. Yes, it requires widening, but it has quite a wide road reserve. It's not that much narrower than... looking on the list map at Mount Leslie Road and the significant catchment area that has. The beauty, as I see it, of Harley Parade is that if it is capable of taking it or widened to take it and put a roundabout at the eastern end, you've got another roundabout then a couple of hundred metres to the north and you're straight out on the highway. You actually bypass a lot of the problems of Westbury Road if you're accessing the city centre. But apart from that, all power to them, and I hope they're successful, and I hope that there are the jobs, the economy, that goes with a development such as this to support it longer term. Yes, there'll be a significant amount of retirees probably in the area in terms of one part of the project, but we need the employment to go with this. Yes, we can all build each other a dwelling, but once they're done, you need something to for the people to long-term jobs, etc. So I hope that's there. I think it will give a boost to the casino itself, etc., or the existing facility. I hope they are, as I say, with some attention to detail and modifications of the nitty-gritty of what's proposed, I hope it's very successful.
Thank you, Councillor. Other questions, councillors? I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, which is Councillor Sheriff.
I'm happy to put it to vote, thanks.
Thank you. Sorry, before I do that, I should ask Councillor Kelly, who's on Zoom, whether he has any questions. It's a bit hard when we can't see him.
I'm all fine, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion.
No, I think we've had quite a lengthy debate and I'm happy to put it to the vote.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll ask you to vote. All of those, please say aye and raise your hands. Thank you.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Thank you, councillors. Before we move on to the next item, if those of you that are in the gallery want to leave now, you're most welcome to, before we go into Infrastructure 1. Moving on, Infrastructure 1, the recommendation is there as it sits. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second that? Councillor King moves. Seconder, please. Councillor Cameron. As the mover, Councillor King, any comment?
Just appreciate the officer's recommendation and that we don't have the virtue of a crystal ball when we make the predictions with what we need to spend. Happy to see that the amendments to the spending are still staying largely with their intended purpose.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Cameron?
No, I've got nothing to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, discussion? Councillor Bower?
Just in relation to the mobile organics bins being scrapped for this year, was that intended for a trial at Prospect Vale?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the allocation was put in 2 or 3 years ago now, and it was for a rollout through Prospect Vale, whether it went through to Hadsman. It wasn't for a trial, it was there to actually roll out a FOGO program. But given the work over the last few years, I guess, in terms of the strategy overall and the discussions at workshop, it's essentially been sitting there in the program as sort of allocated, if you like, so there's no commitment to spend it. So it'll be depending on how we go with workshop discussions leading into budget for next year, it'll be my intention, if we need to put a capital works program into next year's program for organics bins if council want to go down that path. Yep.
Councillor Bower.
That is the number one thing I get comments from the Prospect Vale community. So I am not happy that it's actually coming out. I think we actually should do it. If it's been there for 3 years, it should have been done. But as long as this is going into the next waste management strategy, I'm happy for that to occur. But for this to be scrapped completely, pardon the pun, no.
Thanks, Councillor Bower. Councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Knott?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just following on, if I can, from that, Director, have we had recent figures or numbers for on the count of those wishing to with the mobile?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. One of my officers in my team was taking a number of inquiries. I'd have to have a look at our records to see whether he was actually, you know, tracking those in terms of a count, or whether it was just an indication of, you know, one every 2 days type of thing. So we weren't getting overwhelmed, but there's consistent sort of inquiry. So it might be a handful each week. We'll get an email or a phone call from people, but I'd have to take on notice, I guess, as to whether we've got an actual figure of people that have inquired over the last few years.
Thanks, Dino. Any other questions, councillors? No? If not, I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, I think, well, just to follow on from that as well, I understand the reasoning for it to be removed from this particular thing, but I guess to say that it is part of our greater plan of the revamp of waste into the future. So I guess for those residents, don't think that that's forgotten.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor King is the mover of the motion.
I have a slightly different view on the organics bin situation. I think there are some other options that need to be discussed and pursued before we reallocate those funds back in, but it's a conversation for another day. I think there are some more viable options rather than committing to sending trucks out on a weekly or fortnightly basis for collection forevermore. So, but happy with the motion as it stands. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I'll put the motion as it stands. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands.
Aye.
Good, that's unanimous. Thank you. No. Sorry. I thought your hand was up. Sorry, those against. Sorry, my apologies. Two against, still passed. Sorry. Yeah, I must have to go back to Specsavers. Sorry. Infrastructure 2. Somebody like to move? Sorry. Councillor Cameron. Seconder. Councillor Knott. Councillor Cameron is the mover.
I'm pretty happy to accept that. There's a few bits and bobs in there. The bit talking about some upgrades and things that need to be done, and I presume they'll be done in a timely manner. So I think I'm happy.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott.
Just a wording and so on. On page 66, in the paragraph where it says, it is recommended to Council that the General Manager is delegated powers, does it mean has delegated powers or is given delegated powers? As it is, it's not doesn't make sense. With respect. First line.
In what way, Councillor?
It is recommended to Council that the General Manager is delegated powers. Mm. Is delegated powers. Does it mean is given delegated powers? I think probably is it.
So at the moment you don't have power, but we're delegating that you do have power.
Manager is delegated powers.
Depends on which way you read it, Councillor Knott, I guess.
Yes, I can see that too, yes.
I think the general assumption is that the GM has the powers, but if it can be read another way, then...
Yes, I think...
you'd probably say it is recommended to Council that the General Manager is delegated the power under Section 22 of the Local Government Act to exercise the functions, etc.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess it pertains to the officer's report. The material expression of it is the recommendation to the council.
Yep. Anything else, councillors, on this one? Councillor Knott?
If I may, seconder. I know that we've dealt with this before. We've seen this before, and I guess that it's come back to us with the. If you look very carefully through the recommendations of yes, no's and so on, non-applicable, I guess that it does indicate what perhaps where there might be the need to do more immediate works, but it certainly outlines in quite some detail the crossings, and it's a very important aspect, but what's required of this council in relation to the railway track particularly, and the number of crossings, and it's quite amazing how many crossings there are, and particularly on smaller rural roads, in a sense. Always aware of the issue of safety for something like this. So I guess that with the delegation to this council and working with Tasrail, I'm sure that it can be a positive outcome, and that they remain safe for both the rail traffic and all vehicular traffic. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Knott. Open up for discussion, Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, question. When I read this, when we were given it months ago, whenever it was, haven't had a lot of time to spend on it this time round, but one of the questions, I mean, it appears to some extent that Tasrail, the Rail Authority, rule the roost, but we're responsible for signage. Who's responsible if a sign that's currently a... a sign, yep, that says stop, and it's going to be replaced with a traffic lights, red lights. Who's responsible for the cost of up? You know, if they turn around and came back to us, as you said, we've got a huge number of crossings in the municipality. If they came back and said, look, we want them all traffic lights, who would be responsible for the cost of that upgrade?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, conversations I've had with Tasrail are that they're responsible for all that electrical infrastructure and signals. Yep. So that'd be on them if they want to upgrade it. That'd be on them if it was probably an initiative by council where we wanted to drive installation of lights rather than Tasrail, they'd probably make us pay for it. I would think. Yeah.
Thanks, councillors. Any other questions?
Yes.
Oh, Councillor Kelly. Far away.
Through you to Dino. Railway crossing, it's probably just a typo, I reckon. Hodden Lakes Road, Deloraine. Can you tell me where the railway crosses there?
What page, Councillor?
Good question. 81.
Yep. Come forward, please. You'll have to come forward to the microphone.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. My understanding is that the linkage for the Highland Lakes Road continues around over the bridge to the terminate at the roundabout, the bottom roundabout. So that's that link over the bridge to that point, including of that crossing, is shown as Highland Lakes Road as far as the state growth network. And obviously with the state rail as well, it'd be named the same. So I would understand that to be the crossing, Councillor Kelly.
I presume that, but Highland Lakes Road ends at the bridge, doesn't actually go across the bridge. Technicality, but I'll let you go.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I was of the same opinion to recently, Councillor Kelly, and I was advised by state growth that the linkage, whatever they called it, of Highland Lakes Road terminates at the roundabout interface.
So now we all know. Okay. Yeah. Sorry for those who are listening, that was Matthew Millwood, Director of Works. Okay. Any other questions, councillors? Comments? No? Back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Knott.
Nothing to add.
Yeah. Mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
Nothing to add, thanks.
Okay, I shall put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye. I'll just double check this time.
Aye.
Everyone's up. Okay,
aye.
We've got it. Thank you. Thank you.
Can Matthew see that?
Yeah, we can. Oh, well, sorry, I was just looking at you. Anyway, moving on.